You're listening to Money Making Mothers with Carla Edwards, where we discuss the highs and lows of being a working parent, how to master the art of spinning plates, and to remind ourselves that just because you became a mother does not mean your dreams no longer exist. You can have it all.
Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Money Making Mothers, where I'm joined by Kath Lockwood, who has worked for the NHS for the past 15 years and last year decided to take the plunge and set up her own property business. Now her episode is about believing in yourself, taking those risks and just going for it. You know, don't hold back. You've only got one life. Make sure you live it the way you want to live it. So I hope you find it as inspiring as I did.
Hi, thanks for having me on. So I'm Catherine, I'm Kath Lock on Facebook for those who know me through Facebook. I've got two children, Mia, she's 13, nearly 14. She's got a massive interest in dancing, so she does dancing 3 or 4 times a week, or did before COVID. And then I've got Archie, my 10-year-old little character. I'm married, and I work as an occupational therapist in mental health services and have done for 15 years. But then on the side of that, I've also got a property business. So yeah, I only started it in October last year. I went and done some property training with Stephen Green at the Property Investment Academy and straight away just come back and set up my own business, purchased my property a month later, done a full refurb on that. And that's now rented out and looking for my second property. So I'm relatively new to it. So
you're enjoying it?
Yeah, absolutely love it. Like, I've always kind of loved property and always, you know, doing interior design in my house and seeing how, like, you can transform rooms and stuff like that. So it was just an ideal choice for me, really. Just, I'm getting ones that, like, need everything doing to it. Like, just going in and ripping everything out.
Are you going to be doing all the work and things on them as well?
So my husband works away and he does kind of 3 on 3 off, so he's away half the time. So when he's away, when he's home, he's doing some of the work in the house because he's an electrician by background and he's like dead handy. But obviously he's not home a lot of the time. So I'm doing like kind of project management, and the last time before he even got home, I'd got like the plumber in and the plaster in, and like it was, you know, all ready to go, and then he'd come in and run the electrics,
just the last bit.
I'm not doing any of the trade work or anything like that, but just kind of the project managing of it and getting everyone in.
Yeah, but that's
finding
that's
the properties
stressful as that, like organizing people, tradesmen, like no offense to tradespeople, but like organizing more than one is hard work.
Everyone wants it to be in at the same time
you want to make sure it all obviously lines up and it finishes at the same time, but trying to make sure that everybody else is working on that same clock is the hardest part about it. Project management isn't easy at all.
Yeah,
so why did you change from, like, what gave you the, I don't know, the push to, you said you're an occupational therapist 15 years, how did you get into that, and then how did you get into doing what you're doing now?
The main reason, like I said, my husband works away. He's worked away for like 10 years. He's missed birthdays, missed Christmases. And it kind of got to a point where I thought, I want to do something. I want to kind of give to the family and like give back, really. So I want to build this business so that he doesn't have to work away anymore. And he can kind of come home and maybe get a part-time job here, or, you know, just not have to work away. So I wanted to look at what I could do, really, for the family. So, yeah, just wasn't enough doing kind of 3 days as an OT. So building this business is for everyone, really.
And do you enjoy doing the occupational therapy as well?
I do, yeah. I've always liked helping people. And to be honest, it's something that I'll always do. I've do charity work as well. And I, like, just this year, I've kind of done a dip into Redcastle when it was still snow on the ground in February.
I've seen that. I bet you were absolutely Baltic.
Yeah, it was freezing. Yeah, so I did raise £300 for my charity. Well, donated it. It was through this the one competition that I'm doing. I did the 50 miles for Maggie's Place in January, and I'm now doing a 100k in 24-hour walk in full PPE for the NHS.
Are we going to do a massive walk for 24 hours?
Yeah. So we're covering this, me and the team. So I'll tell you a little bit about this competition because it kind of fits in. So the one competition is based on building my business. You don't kind of win £1 million. You win one-to-one mentorship with Stephen Green to build your business. And he's picking one person. There was 5,000 applications and I made it to the top 12. And now I've been put in a group. And we're trying to get votes for Team A, which is the team I am. So alongside that, I wanted to do something for charity as well. And hopefully it'll kind of get our name out there. So we're doing 100K in 24 hours in Redcar on the 29th of March for the raising money for the NHS. So we've got like a website.
How many miles is that?
It's about 61 mile.
Bloody hell. I walk, me and Jackson... We walked last year for charity, for Leo's charity for neonatal, like a neonatal charity. And we walked 26 miles and like Jackson was he 9 or 8? He was 9, I think. Yeah, he was 9. And that was absolute torture. I was in bed for about 3 days afterwards.
Yeah.
My legs. So God knows how. Yeah. I think that took us, we set off about 7:30 and got home. It took us about 12 hours that.
Did it?
Yeah, I mean, so, Brad Jackson and to be fair to him, he did better than I did. I was the one who was stopping every half an hour needing to rest my feet, wasn't him? But yeah, it's really nice though when you're doing something and you know you're doing it for somebody else and you obviously it hurts and it feels like shit when you're doing it. Afterwards, it's such a nice feeling knowing that you've like done that for somebody else and like raised money. It's mint.
Yeah, that sense of achievement, isn't it? It's like, yeah, I've been doing a bit of training and I've been taking some advice about my footwear and stuff like that. Toilets was the main thing that I was worried about because obviously there's no toilets open, but luckily we've got like a camper van that's going to follow us around overnight. During the day and then overnight it's going to park up, so at least when we're doing the laps on the route we can kind of go and use the toilet.
So have you got a route? Have you got like a actual thing planned out?
Yeah, so we kind of used one that had been used before and it's kind of Redcar to Saltburn, then you come back and then it's like laps around like the Redcar area.
What, are you going to just keep doing that over and over again?
Yeah, it's quite flat, so I mean it is quite a long loop route. I think we do that 4 or 5 times after. Yeah.
Bloody hell. That'll be some achievement, that though, when that's done.
I know.
24 hours. You'll be in bed for about 3 weeks.
We just wanted to make it something big because we're aiming to raise £10,000 as well. We're trying to get, I've been on the radio already and we're trying to get kind of on the TV, on ITV and stuff and really pushing it. We've got a Just Giving page, we've got our own website.
What charity is it for?
It's for the NHS.
Oh, for the NHS? So what, just for the NHS, whoever, or certain department?
Yeah, it's just NHS Heroes is kind of the Just Giving page, so it's our NHS Heroes, so it's just going to the full NHS. I've worked for the NHS, like I said, 15 years, and Sarah, who's in my team, she's done NHS research and obviously just what they've done during this pandemic and such the amazing work. So we talked about
that. What's it been like then working through the pandemic? Have you still been having to go to work?
Yeah, I've worked all the way through. It's been difficult because the therapy centre where I work is shut. And they've been so short-staffed because of COVID and staff going off sick and people having to isolate. So we've actually been transferred onto the wards in a HCA role just to help support the ward staff because it's been, it's a bigger need really than, and we've still been doing like some therapy and urgent referrals, but a lot of the time we've been transferred onto the wards to support there.
And have you been like, have you ever had any concerns or like worrying about working at the hospital, you know, when you've got the kids as well?
Yeah, I mean, it is worrying, but we've got all the PPE. I think it's managed really well. So I do feel safe. I mean, you can kind of go to the shop and get it, can't you?
Like you say, it's been everyone else is obviously not everyone else, but a lot of people have been able to work from home and been able to do whatever they need to do to look after themselves. Whereas people who work in the NHS have had to just get on with it and do it, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely. Like my husband was furloughed for 6 months, which made it easier for me to go to work as well, because he was at home with the children while I like kind of went to work. But I think because I'd done it from day one, I've never really thought anything different. It's just kind of something that you get on with and do.
And how has it went throughout, obviously, with you having the kids? How have you managed in terms of going to work and if he's working away and getting the kids minded?
I mean, it's been really difficult, like juggling everything. Obviously, working, the business, the competition. But I've got major, like, brilliant support from my sister and my mum. Are absolutely brilliant. They support me. They're kind of my bubble so that I can go to work and do these things. And changing my routine a little bit as well since I've set up the business. I've stopped watching, like, binge watching Netflix. It just doesn't happen anymore. Once the kids go to bed, like, I'm on the laptop and working. And I get up now about 5:30 every morning. It was difficult at first, but it was kind of fitting it in and getting that hour before the kids have even got up to get things done was important. So yeah, about 5:30 I get up now, and I've got like a good hour and a half before they've even got up.
We've had everything
with homeschooling as well. I mean, everyone's felt that, haven't they, when we're a teacher as well as everything else now? Or have been up until like recently.
No, that was insane. It was so everyone from home and doing like obviously trying to teach the kids. I'm not gonna lie, I was terrible at it. I've got no patience whatsoever, and it was trying to do work and look after the kids and teach the kids. It's just hats off to anyone who managed to do it like as good as they could have done, because I really, really struggled with it. I think it was more like Jackson was all right because he was older, so he had a laptop, he could just get on with it. But Teddy, you've got to sit and go through it with them bit by bit. He's only six. So yeah, Alba running about, who's two. So it was just working as well. It's hard work. It was really hard work. Like, it's been, and the kids are so much happier now they've gone back to school.
Yeah.
Happier in themselves. And like Jackson and Teddy had even put on weight. Like, they put the school stuff back on and they'd put on, like, I knew they'd put on weight, but I didn't realise how much I'd put the uniform back on it. Mm-hmm. And they've been back now, this is the end of the second week, yeah. It's dropped off because they're actually going out and doing stuff and running.
Yeah, they've been cooped up, haven't they, everyone? But I think everyone's done the best they can do, haven't they? And it wasn't something that anyone was prepared for, so we all done our best.
No, definitely. And with you saying you've got like a new routine and things, to has that been purely down to wanting more and wanting to build a business, or is it more personal? Like, was it on a personal level or purely for the business?
It was for the business, but also because I didn't want to take away from my time with the kids. So once they've gone to bed, and on a morning was the ideal time for me to kind of do the work, really, because I didn't want them to suffer and me. I mean, you have to make some sacrifices, and it's for the good of the family, isn't it? And in the long run, hopefully, it'll be more time spent with the family. But I wanted to reduce that as much as possible, so I still have the time with the kids when they're getting from school and up until they go to bed. And then after bedtime, I'll work on the business or on a morning.
And have you had anything, what's helped you with doing that? Like, have you read any, like, books or any podcasts, anything like that?
I've read a few books, but mainly the training that I did, the property training that I did with Stephen. It's not just about property, it's all about mindset and business. And so he kind of talked about setting that routine and getting up, like, productive day and getting up on a morning. So that's where it kind of started off, really, is from my 3-day advanced property training that I did with Stephen. There's like a massive section on mindset for people setting businesses and stuff.
Yeah, I love all that. I love everything to do with mindset, because it does make a massive difference, the way you feel about yourself and the choices you make. have a massive impact on the rest of your day. So if you lay in bed and you drag yourself out of bed last minute, you feel like shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
you feel like you're chasing your tail all day. Whereas if you get up, you get at it straight away. Like I always do. I can't bear like having to do, you know, like replying and things and like emails and stuff. And I try to do that 6 o'clock in the morning before the kids wake up. If Alba stays asleep, yeah, I'll get on with that straight away because then that's done. And then you can get them sorted for school and just trying to cram everything in is a lot better when you get up ahead of the game.
Get ahead of Yeah, I totally agree.
So what's been, in terms of, even if it's not to do with the business, that's the property business, because I know that's relatively new, but in terms of you as a mother and working all the way through being a mother, what's been the hardest part of the journey so far, would you say?
Do you know what? I think the hardest part is, if anything, just that taking that first step. Like, I'd put it off for so long. I mean, it's been hard and it's been, like, there's been points that have been difficult, but I think there was a million reasons why not to do it. And I've thought about this for years. And I would say to anyone who's thinking about starting a new career, going back to uni, going back to college, or starting a business, just do it. Because I talked myself out of it so many times and kind of said to myself, I haven't got the time, I haven't got the money, I haven't got the experience, I haven't got the skills. But actually, just as soon as I kind of took that step and went and done the training and then set up the company, that was it. There was no going back after that. So it was like, I know it's not kind of like a challenge, but it was kind of, I'd put myself a wall there and said, I'm not good enough, I can't do it. Like I said, I haven't got the skills. But actually, just do it. I think so many people kind of think about things for so long and then think it's too late, and it's never too late, really.
Why do you think you always felt like that, that you couldn't do it?
I always kind of see, and this is going to sound bad because I'm on Money Making Mothers, but sometimes you kind of see like property developers and people doing refurbs as like men in them skilled like trades of like a builder. And I kind of thought, being a woman who's only ever worked in the NHS, what have I got to bring to it? But actually, I've got loads of transferable skills and I've done dead well in just on the first project and kind of finding the people, like project managing it, getting, you know, the prices and kind of communication skills and finding the properties. And you always just find your area, I think, that you can do it.
Yeah, and you can. I know what you're saying, because I've got a property business as well that I have with my business partner, and it's very daunting the first time you do it, but it's the most rewarding thing when it's done. Like when you buy something and you think, right, this is like a proper chance, this, and it might not work, but then when it does work and it comes together, at the end of the day, the way I always look at things is, what's the worst that's going to happen? As long as I'm healthy and as long as I know the kids are all right and my husband's all right, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to lose some money. I can earn money again.
Yeah.
You can always earn money. Doesn't matter how much money it is, whether it's 10 grand or a million, you can always make money back. It's taking the chance on yourself and on your future and going, I'm just going to do it. Because what, like you've just said there, what you're waiting for? Because you're going to wait so long and it'll be too long and it'll be gone then. And that's one of the main reasons I started this podcast, was because I didn't think, sometimes people put themselves in boxes and think, right, I've just got to stay, you know, like I've been doing this job all this time. I'm not going to do anything else. I haven't done anything since. So yeah, there's a mint quote. I love it. The one that says, you know, so-and-so was married at 28 with 3 kids. I didn't get married. I was 40, and you know, everyone's story is different, everyone's timeline's different. That doesn't mean it's wrong, it just means it's right for you. But I hope people listening haven't got something that they're sat waiting and hoping that they want to do and dreaming of doing, and they're thinking, oh, just like you said, there's a million reasons why I shouldn't. But the main reason is, you just do it, you only live once.
Yeah, if it's going to be beneficial to you and to your family, then go for it. You are in control of your life, aren't you? And the path that it takes is all down to you and the choices that you make. And I just think, just go for it.
No, 1,000,000%. Yeah. It's going to pay off, isn't it? Like, is that with you? Obviously, the hardest part being in your own head.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Do you think that's helped? Like, has that got better, like, since you did do it? Like, how scary, for anyone listening, how scary is it and how scary is it now? Like, when before you do it and now you've done it, like, what's the difference?
Yeah, like, when you, before you do it, I think you have all that self-doubt, and then once you've done it, you feel that sense of achievement and you actually get that, I can do it, that self-belief just comes, doesn't it? And you kind of see, and like you were saying, just seeing like what you've achieved, like the before and after. So I remember when I first walked in the house that we bought, so I'd obviously seen it, and then it went to auction and we got it, and then we pulled the bathroom out and the kitchen ceiling fell down, and I was like, oh, and Andrew said to me, I thought, my husband said, he said, I thought just needed a lick of paint. And I was like, oh my God. And I thought, oh God, what have I done? But literally pulled it down, reboarded it, reflawed all the bathroom, and it was minor, really. It just looked a lot when it was on the kitchen floor.
Yeah.
But actually, like, it was a minor job. And then I walked in when it was done and kind of seeing the transformation, and I was like, yeah, like, I've chose all this, I've kind of, you know, got them people in to do this work, and it's just really good, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. But do you still have the doubt now? It's called, Michaela Wayne actually told me this when I was on her episode, because I love her, I think she's amazing, like, she's my little idol. And I was talking to her about, you know, the way, yeah, it's called imposter syndrome, where you think you're not good enough to be there, you don't think, like, it's not real, how can this be happening, like, where you see yourself being doesn't feel like you can get there. Like, do you still have that self-doubt or, like, worry, or do you feel like it's more believable now that actually what you want to do, you can do?
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot more believable. I feel like sometimes I need reeling in that now, because my husband says to me, oh, come on, Catherine, just take it one step at a time, because I'm talking about, like, massive projects now, and, like, oh, what we could do this conversion, like, pub conversion into flats and things, and we've only got one single let. But I think I'm going to get another couple of single lets. But, yeah, I'm definitely thinking bigger and definitely thinking I can achieve more.
What's your goals then? What's end goals? If you could write yourself for the next 10 years, what would be your, what would it look like?
I thought the change all the time. the main, like, one is kind of to be financially free, enough that both of us don't have to go to work, or work as in your 9-to-5 job, but the work is the business. So that's a kind of the main goal, and something to hand down to the kids. Like, I want a business that they can kind of get on board with if they want to, but something kind of to leave to them. They're my two main goals.
So how many are you thinking? How many does financially free look like? How many houses?
Well, I was thinking like 20 kind of single lets and then like a big project. But now I don't think I want to get to 20 single lets before I get to that big project. So I'm thinking I'll probably do like 4 or 5 and then start moving on to the bigger project.
What's the big project?
So I've been looking at kind of a pub that I can convert into flats. I want a couple of HMOs as well, house of multiple occupancies. But yeah, definitely, like, when I'm in this property group and this stuff that people are doing, like, somebody's bought HSBC Bank and converting it into flats. And
but the sky is your limit, though, isn't it? Like, you can do whatever you want, like, anything's possible to do it if you work hard enough and you focus on it. Like you say, people, you have to choose your time wisely, don't you? So if you're going to sit and watch whatever it is on the telly, or, like, my friends take the piss, I have Netflix and that's it. So, you know, like, when they've been doing the announcements over lockdown, I'm always like, can someone please let me know what the announcement says? I'm like, how do you not have, like, BBC One or ITV, whatever it is? I'm like, we had it. And I was the same what you said about a year ago. I felt like the kids were, like, very dependent on it. I felt like we were very dependent. You know, you just naturally sit down and put it on as soon as you get up.
Yeah.
Sit down and you end up sat on your ass for an hour and a half watching shite on the TV. So I just said, right, get everything out. So we only have Netflix. Well, we have Netflix and Disney. But you have to, like, you have, I feel with Netflix, you can't just put something on and have it on in the background. You've got to, like, you're sitting down to watch something, and you're so, like, the only time I sit and watch Netflix if it's for a series or something I'm interested in. But yeah, like, you find yourself, like, the soaps. I remember when we moved and I worked out, I was spending about 2 hours a night watching soaps. And I was like, that's 10 hours a week. That's 40 hours. That's 2 days of my month I'm sat watching, like, Corrie.
And how much of it is negative? Like, I was watching it thinking, like, this is negative. Like, it's just, it's nothing, there's never positive, is it? It's always, like, a tragedy
It's positive after something absolutely tragic has happened. Like, someone's died, but then someone else has managed to get in with her husband or whatever it is. It's nothing, never anything, like, constructive on there. But, yeah, I think choosing time wisely definitely makes a massive difference to people's mindset and what they can achieve. And that's just, like, I've only been doing it 2 years, but the difference that's made in my life has been huge. And you've just said exactly the same thing. So it must be, there must be more people who feel like that.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, I constantly told myself I don't have time, but how much time I wasted when I actually looked at it and thought, how much time am I sitting just watching TV? Or, like, it was just, I mean, I still get time to watch TV. Like, I'll still sit and watch TV with the kids, or I'll watch, like, a series if I'm really into something. So I must have been wasting a lot.
Yeah, and scrolling and stuff. Jesus, scrolling is mental when you sit. When you fact, you can, someone broke it down to me before, you know, when it can tell you how long you've spent on certain apps, like how much you've spent on Facebook, how much you spent on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And it's sickening when you actually look at it.
Yeah.
And then at least, but then once you've seen it, you can be mindful of it. You know, if that's how you want to do it, if that's how you like to spend your time, that's fine. But, like, the way my head works, I'm like, say it said 2 hours, I'd work out what that is a month and be like, no, I can't waste that amount of time doing that. There's more constructive things we're putting my time to.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Just about being more aware, isn't it, about what you're doing and where you want to go. So if you could have the kids learn anything or be anything or see and take anything from what you're doing and the journey you're going through, what would it be?
Yeah, so obviously being a role model is massively important, and I want to see that, them to see what I'm putting into it, how much hard work, dedication, and that it pays off, and that you can kind of do anything you want to do. Like you said, the sky's the limit. You can do what you want to do. You put the work in, you work hard, consistency, dedication, have your goals, and you can get there. My daughter, actually, she's already got a little business head on her. She's come to me with, she wants to do a fashion page on Instagram. So she's kind of found, like, a supplier that's, like, quite cheap, and she's been, like, looking into it, her and a friend, and she said, oh, what do you think about this, mum? And obviously I want to, like, nurture that, and I've just said to her, like, oh yeah, like, look into it, and let's see what we can do. So she's kind of already thinking that, you know, that business kind of mind. She loves fashion.
She wants to open her own business.
She's nearly 40, she's 14 in June, and she's already thinking about, she wants to open a business on Instagram. But
that's amazing.
I think that is probably because she sees what I'm doing and kind of thinking, oh, how can I, what am I, because I've told her, like, it's due to me being interested in kind of renovations, doing up properties and stuff. She knows she's interested in, like, fashion and, like, loves her clothes and stuff. So yeah, she's already thinking about that.
Like, turning passion into profit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And is there anything, like, do you do anything with them to try and implement that now, like, while they're still the age they are, or do you just, like, leave them to naturally pick it up?
I have with Mia a little bit, like, just in terms of, she said to me, could she get some clothes? She want, like, there was a certain clothes that she wanted. And I said to her, well, how would you get the money to do that? And obviously I just kind of meant, you know, do some chores around the house, or what kind of, like, so nothing, it's not just handed to her, and she's kind of thinking of ways to kind of earn that money. And then she's come off with the, like, business plan. So only, like, little subtle ways where I'll kind of not just kind of give them it on a plate, but say, you can have it, but what would you, how are you going to earn it?
Or how are you going to earn it?
Well, she's going to earn it. I wanted her to do chores around the house, but she's setting up a business page on Instagram for fashion, so.
Oh, no. But, it's good that, yeah. I mean, that she's already thinking like that, because it's only going to get bigger and better, isn't it, with age?
Yeah.
More confidence grows.
Yeah. She has done things before, though, that I said she'd get into trouble for. Like, she said to me that she wanted to buy, you know, the packs of chewy that you can get in Aldi for 4 packs for £1 or whatever.
Yeah.
She said, oh, I might buy a couple of packs of them and take them to school and sell them for £1 each. And I said to her, you can't, but it's good that she's thinking like that. But I said, you can't do that. I said, you'll get chucked out of school buying and selling. So she Del said, boy. Yeah,
but it's good that, though, isn't it? Like, it's good to see when kids are like that, and it's you want to nurture it because you want them to, you know, to want more and to believe in themselves, especially when they're young like that. It's amazing that they have the ideas that they do. So if anyone wants to find you or know more or even ask for your help, or, you know, they might say, I'm thinking about doing the same thing. How did you get the balls to do it? Help me. Where can they find you? Like, where on social media?
So I've got my Facebook page is Kath Locke, and then while I'm doing this competition, the one Kath Locke is my public support group that people can go over and join that group. I've also got a website, which I'm running alongside me, the team members, Team A. So that's the A team -the1.com. So they can go over, and then hopefully if anyone wants to sponsor us on our walk, or vote, or if you can kindly vote Team A, if you head over to the website, all the information's on there about that as well.
Oh, amazing. Well, I'll go and vote as well after this now.
But oh, thank you.
Honestly, I wish you all the luck for the competition. I'm sure you'll get there, and for the walk, Jesus Christ, good luck for your legs. 24 hours. It's amazing.
I've took a week off work after it.
No, genuinely, you're going to need it. You're going to need like masseuse on tap. But yeah, thank you so much for your time today, love. I really appreciate it.
All
the luck in the world for your all right.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Bye.
You have been listening to the Money Making Mothers podcast with Carla Edwards. If you have enjoyed the show, then leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Make sure to tune in next time, and don't forget, you can have it all.